Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners, to yet another week. Another, you know, individual here in our community that we get to hear their story. I wanted to give a quick shout out. I don't even actually know her name, but over the past weekend, there was a teenager that I ran into that actually pulled up the podcast and was like, "Is this you?" And I was like, "Yes, it is." And I got to talk with her for just a brief moment. And I just wanted to give her a shout out. So if you recall this event that you ran into me, I would love for you to email me at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com. And yeah, this is super exciting. The podcast really just showcases individuals and their stories. So today, Courtney, I welcome you on and we're going to hear about you.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to come on and share a little bit about what I'm doing right now. So
yes. So what is it that you're doing right now?
So I own a financial coaching business where I help first responders and military families with their finances. A little bit of background of how I got started into that was way long ago when I was in high school, I worked a job, I did babysitting, all these things to save money to buy my first car. I didn't come from a super wealthy family, and I knew that if I wanted to have a car, I needed to have at least a down payment or something to make that happen. And so with a lot of dog training I did, babysitting, I was able to save up a huge chunk of money to put down. And when I went to college, actually, I started as a business major.
Wow.
Ended up changing into a counseling major because I just really fell in love with just a desire to help people and give people hope. Because I see so many times, even in my own life, where there's discouragement or sadness. And a lot of times we don't know what to do, like to work our way out of that, the mental health side of things. And so I got my degree in that. Ended up going into teaching. I taught elementary school, first grade for a few years. So kind of all over the place in that realm. But loved it because I was helping people. And I just, that's always been my desire, is to meet people where they're at and help them in whatever way that looks like. And so fast forward a few years after teaching, I met my husband on eHarmony.
Wow.
Crazy world. I'm like 5.5 years older than him.
Wow.
He was in the Army stationed in Alaska. And I was from Southern California, so very different places, and ended up dating. He flew out to visit me in California. A few months later, we got engaged. Then we got married a few months later, really fast. All of a sudden, it's December, and I'm living in Fairbanks, Alaska in the middle of winter.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. We went from, you know, hot Southern California weather to the darkest day of like 3 hours of sunlight. And it was a really big change. And kind of through that experience, too, my husband was enlisted in the Army, very low ranking starting out. And I think we were bringing home like $2,400 a month. And I hadn't gotten a job yet because I just moved up there and was trying to reorient my life in a new place and not having a community or anything. And so right after this happened, we got married and our pipe broke in the house we were renting. Which is a really big deal in Alaska when your pipes freeze. And so, yeah, we ended up having to spend like $1,000 on that. And then we had some car payments and student loans. And we just struggled financially because it's really expensive up there. At least it used to be very expensive to live up there. And we were bringing in very little income at the time. And so, yeah, we racked up the credit card debt and all of that. And so that's kind of where a little bit of the background for me came with wanting to help people with their finances, because we felt stuck. And I felt a lot, too, that we kept ourselves from doing a lot of the fun things we wanted to do, like the fishing trips for the salmon or halibut or things like that, that we really wanted to do, but we couldn't afford at the time. And we didn't have a good handle on our finances to be able to say, hey, like, we're going to have a plan to make this work for us because we want to enjoy life. So, yeah, through that time, my husband deployed to Afghanistan for about 8 months. And I was able to work a lot more because he was gone. So I just filled up my time with working. And through that time, we paid off like $17,000 of credit card debt in 8 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great. We a couple months later, we were able to pay off my car payment. And then, worked on his kind of slowly. And then I took a break from working because we had our first child. So, after our first kiddo, then my husband got out of the Army. We decided we were kind of done with that stage of life and him leaving for deployments while I raised kiddos. And we ended up moving back down to the Boise area. That's where my husband's from. He was raised here most of his life. And he became a police officer. So again, another life change and another big pay cut for us because right. He had worked his time up in the military and was actually making like a decent salary at that point. And when you're a new recruit with most police departments, you're getting paid very little.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we came here right before the market got super, super hot because we were able to actually buy a home and we couldn't have afforded rent with the income he was making. So through that time of having one kiddo and then a few months later, after he started the police department, we found out we were pregnant again, which means another baby and more expenses, right?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of 2020. And that was just an interesting year in general. But through that time, we accrued more debt because we had a lot more expenses and still low income. And for me to go out and work as a police wife wasn't really an option for us to pay for childcare. My husband was working every different shift because he was new. They were putting him on everything. And so we were kind of stuck with, I can't go work because then now we're paying for childcare, which would probably cost more than any income I would bring in. And he couldn't work overtime yet because he was not off probation. So we were kind of in this really hard place again of building up some of this credit card debt. And for us, it just helped us to see the struggle of what it's like when you can never get ahead financially. And I know you were a first responder and you come yeah. from a family of them. But unfortunately, the majority of first responders don't make very large incomes for the amount of stress that they have to handle.
Yeah.
And so, when our second child was born, it was the week of the big George Floyd protests that were going on here in Boise. And so I was set to have my baby any day. And my husband was there in the city getting yelled at and cursed at by people, which was just a really hard time. I think a little bit of the insight as like an officer, a wife, like that affects us too, you know, and seeing that like my husband, who did nothing wrong in that situation, he wasn't there, was being like yelled at and told he should go kill himself. It was heartbreaking for me as I'm now about ready to give birth to our second child. So it was just one heck of a year. But fast forward that a little bit more, and we were able to get on a plan financially. We were able to pay off every penny of debt that we owed other than our mortgage and like start living the dream that we wanted. We were able to buy our home that we wanted in the mountains. For us is where we always wanted to be since we were in Alaska, was to be somewhere where we could have wild animals roaming through our yard. And just have some open land because it just gives my husband especially a sense of peace.
Right.
To be able to escape the city life, which he works in every day, and to get away and just have nothing as the sound around you other than the wind blowing through the trees and maybe some turkeys gobbling.
The natural sounds.
Yeah. And I think like for mental health for anybody, it's good to just get away and have peace and quiet. And we don't do that very much in our society anymore. Right. We're so addicted to being busy and having our phones or something playing in the background. It was really good for us to get away and do that. And because we had finally paid off our debt and like gotten a good budget in place and a money plan, we were able to do what we wanted. And again, like still a first responder family living on one income, just to see like this was possible.
Right.
And so that's a little bit of the background for why I decided to get into doing financial coaching, because I just see a need. I didn't even know that existed, actually, that you could have somebody sit down with you one-on-one and say, hey, this is how much income I bring in. These are all my expenses. What should I do with this? What should my plan be so I can succeed with my goals? And so we just did a lot of figuring out ourselves, watching different YouTube videos or listening to podcasts, trying to figure out the financial side. And then I heard not too long ago about this whole financial coaching business. where you can help people one-on-one reach their money goals. And so I saw that and I thought, that brings my teaching heart, it brings my counseling heart and my love for helping people not be in a tough spot financially. And it somehow mixes them all together. And So I just fell in love with it. I took a course. There's no certification technically required to be a financial coach, but I wanted some extra experience in helping people through whatever their circumstances might be, to be able to know exactly what to do to help them. And so that's kind of how I started. And I started my business a couple months ago, and I'm really trying to reach towards the first responder military community, because especially because of the mental health aspect. We know that's like a popular conversation more so now. And I'm so thankful. I know you've even discussed that with people. And I'm so thankful that's being brought to people's attention, because they don't know. I mean, most people do not see traumatic situations multiple times a week, let alone even multiple times a year.
Right.
Or in their lifetimes. And so living that experience for me, where I see my spouse and other family members that I have that are first responders. I have a brother who's a firefighter, a father-in-law that's a police officer too. And just knowing the things that they deal with every day really made me understand too, the financial stress just compounds on top of their other stress that they're dealing with.
Right.
And for families too, I think, I mean, I know that when my husband is overwhelmed with his job because he saw a child injured or so many other situations that happen that unfortunately the citizens never even know. And I'm thankful they don't know that they don't have to bear that stress. But sometimes that stress is just really hard to see the one you love going through that. And when we were dealing with the financial aspect on top of that, it just felt very overwhelming. And I could just imagine so many other families who are in that same situation. So, yeah, it just gave me a heart to go, this is a community I really want to help and give direction to, so they can live a life that is stress-free, at least from the financial stress.
Right.
Because their job is going to be stressful. We can't change that, but we can change our finances so that they can feel relieved.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and especially with, you know, I love that you brought in the fact of the mental health, because if your job is already, we already know their job is stressful, right? And then you add on the little pay, and then you add on, you know, the finances, and then you leave your house, you go to work, which you're trying to make money to, you know, afford your house. And then now you have people yelling at you for nothing that you did. And then you come back to your house and it's like, okay, I've just left, you know, the job for the day and I can come back home. Now I have my work stress, but now I have my home stress too because of the finances.
Yes.
And then they need to go back to work to go to overtime because they need to pay for their house. Mm-hmm. And it's just this unended cycle that they go back to. It's like, okay, well, the more you go back to work and work overtime, yes, you're getting more stability with your finances, but then you're also bringing on more stress in other ways. And it's like you said, you can't take that stress away from their job, and they are making more money, but is that really combating what they need to?
And a lot of times too, what I think is, if you don't have a plan for your finances, that more money just somehow disappears, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think so many people have seen, I mean, even this past year, a lot of people got pay raises. I know in the first responder community, a lot of people actually have not gotten a pay raise, even with the cost of inflation that has gone on. But even with the pay raise, that money still seems to just disappear and go away really fast. And yeah, even the same with overtime. You can work overtime, but you're so exhausted, so you're just eating out more.
Right.
Or you feel like you're so worn out, you just need a vacation, right? And so sometimes it seems like that overtime doesn't even work for your goals.
Right. So how did you learn? I mean, because this really started back when you moved to Alaska. What was your job that you ended up getting in Alaska to be able to work those 8 months and really save? Like, how did you find out, or where did you learn those skills to being paying off things to, you know, what was that?
So I actually was just a preschool teacher, but because I had my degree, they paid me a lot more than all the other teachers who didn't have a degree. So that worked in my advantage. And then I became a substitute teacher. And again, in Alaska, they pay a lot more for things up there typically because the cost of living is really high. And my husband also was getting hazard duty pay because he was away, and we had separation pay because we were apart that time. And so it was through all those different things. And we still had a budget for fun because he could go to the shop at there or buy snacks or things or order things from the U.S. and have them shipped that way. And I could still go out with friends and hang out. So we really made it a priority to still have fun in life while still being really serious about our goals of being debt-free. So that's kind of how that happened there. And then here in Idaho, because I had my kids with me, and they're 2 and 3 now, so it was 1 and 2 when we were still back in the trying to struggle and figure out how to do our financial stuff. I actually did Spark delivery for Walmart with my kids in the car. I would go pick up the groceries at Walmart. They would load them in the back of my car. I would go drop them off at people's homes. And that was kind of how we actually built up our savings too. So, and I could do that while my husband was sleeping because he was working night shift.
Yeah.
So it was hard to be home anyway with little kids because they're loud and they don't understand daddy sleeping. But there's just so many creative ways, I think, to figure out how to add in some extra income. And that's part of what I do too, is tell people, hey, maybe what you need really is just to bring in some more money, and that can help with the goals. Or maybe what you need is to cut back on some things or just have a plan in place so you know where your money's going.
Right.
I've talked to a lot of people, and they can actually have a really good income but have no idea what's coming in every month and what's leaving. And so they just feel really stressed and confused rather than having a plan and just feeling confident of, oh, all my bills are going to be paid. And, hey, there's this amount of money for me to go out and have fun every month.
Right.
So that's kind of, yeah, how that started. And I did do a lot of listening. I listened to, like, Dave Ramsey a lot. He was one for the budget aspect that really helped me to go. We didn't do as serious as what he really recommends because we really still wanted to have fun in life.
Yeah.
And I knew we would burn out if we went really hardcore serious. So I like to take a more balanced approach personally and say, hey, still go on a date with your spouse if you want, or still go out with friends if you want.
Right.
I just think that helps a lot of people's mindset, especially in the first responder world. You do need to treat yourself sometimes.
Yes.
And enjoy life, because life is stressful enough as it is. So.
Well, and especially in those realms where you don't know when your last day is going to be, you know, and yes, it's very important to be planning for those things, but we all know that when you plan, the unexpected is still going to happen.
Yes.
When it happens. What did your guys's planning look like when you looked at your goals? Was it short-term goals? Was it long-term goals? Was it like, okay, this month we're going to cut down on this? Like, what, how did you figure that out for your guys' self?
Yeah. So I think a little bit was a short term, but also long term. So I think a huge thing that I tell people is to have good life insurance, because again, especially in the first responder world, people think, oh, I have a policy through my work, but they don't realize that their work policy is maybe $100,000, which doesn't cut it if you have a family, especially, and anybody who depends on you. If you want to leave a legacy for your spouse, your kids, your nieces, your nephews, and $100,000 doesn't cover very much. And so that's the first thing we did when my husband got into law enforcement. The military gave a decent enough one that we could live off of when it was just the two of us if something was to happen to him. But when he got out, we upped his life insurance policy to provide for us. What I recommend is 10 to 12 years of what his income would have been. And two for me, because if something happened to me and he's now having to care for our kids, and again, his schedule's weird because of the job he's in, somebody's going to have to come in and take care of the kids and do the cooking and the bills and all of that stuff that I take over. And so we got me a life insurance policy too. And I think a lot of people forget that about the spouse, especially if they're not working.
Right.
They think that, they're not bringing in an income, so we're not going to be missing out on that. But they don't realize that the amount of money they save their family. I think it's upwards like of $100,000.
Wow.
That a spouse normally saves their family in terms of the budgeting, or the childcare especially is so expensive nowadays.
Right.
So that was the first long-term goal that we put in place, was just, okay, if anything happens, now we know we're cared for. The second thing too is just an emergency fund, because like you said, the bad times are going to come.
Yeah.
and we need to be prepared for them. And so for us, that looked like 4 to 6 months of my husband's income in savings, because right now we had just been living on his income. And so that was why I was doing those Spark deliveries. He was working some overtime, but not killing himself in that, obviously, too. We had to be really cautious of how much overtime was healthy.
Right.
And so we were able to save up, yeah, that 4 to 6 months worth of income for if something was to happen, he was to get injured, lose a job, anything like that, that we'd be covered. Or your air conditioner goes out, right? Because yes. Those aren't cheap. Or you need a new roof on your house. And so that was the next step for us long term, was just to go, okay, we need to have this set aside so we feel safe. And it did. It was such a blessing to just be able to take a deep breath and say, if something was to happen today or next week, if our car broke down, we could afford to fix it.
Right.
Because half of Americans don't even have $1,000 in savings, which is a scary place to be, because if your tires go out on your car, I know on my car it was $1,200 to get new tires. We didn't have an emergency fund at that point. And so that brought us back to the cycle of being back in debt, which just added more stress. And so now, a couple weeks ago, my car's been breaking a lot lately, but we were able to go, hey, my husband's super handy. He can do a lot of the repairs himself. And so that saved us money. But this last time, he had already been working. It had been a long, busy week. And my brakes went out. And we thought, you know what? We can actually afford to send it to the shop for the shop to fix it this time. And it was so nice. Like, we didn't stress about it. There was no financial arguments in the home. We just said, this is what works for us right now. And we can afford to do it.
Right.
And so that was great. And then more nearsighted, I would say, is just the month-to-month plan that we've sat down. I'm the one that loves finances in our house. I've always been a budgeter, a saver. My husband is definitely more of the free spirit. Go out and, hey, let's go grab Chick-fil-A today. But a Chick-fil-A with a family costs a lot more money nowadays.
Right.
And so we, every month now, we'll meet together. We have a budgeting app. And so we just put all of our income expenses in there. And we sit down together and just say, hey, these are what our goals are. And this is kind of what we need to stick to in order to make those work. So for us, yeah, it just looks like sitting down together every month. And now it's an enjoyable conversation. When we were in the hard times, it wasn't very fun. And yeah, just to sit down and say, okay, this is what our goals are. And I think within the next year, our goal would be to add into saving for like our kids' college. Thankfully, our kids are really little, so we have a long time for that. But to sit down and just add in what our goals are and look and say, hey, this is how much we're going to spend on groceries this month. Let's do our best to stick to that. We're not perfect. Hey, we want to like save for a vacation at some point. So how much do we need to save in order for that? Okay, let's divide it by 12 months and plan accordingly. So if it's $200 a month or $300 a month, we're throwing that into a separate account to be able to save that for the future so it doesn't get spent.
That's what I was going to ask, because it seems like such a simple task of like, well, you save your money and you don't spend it on things. But then we revert back to, okay, well, the majority of Americans only have $1,000 saved. So how do you really save? You know, it seems like such a tangible comment to make, but it's like, how do you save?
That's a great question, because honestly, it's so much about your habits. And I think habits are really hard to change. And when we're accustomed to not knowing where our money is going or just spending it however we want, then we feel stuck and we don't know how to change that. And so a lot of what I do is kind of the habit formation of, okay, this is what your goal is. Let's look at what your income is. Because a lot of people don't even know that side of it. They're like, oh, I think I make around this much a month. Even if I was to ask my husband, he probably would guess totally off on what we spend for everything, because we talk about it every month, but then he walks away from the conversation and he's good to go.
Right.
Whereas I'm the one tracking our spending and things like that. And so, yeah, how to save, I think a large part of it just starts with knowing where your money is, knowing what it's going to every month, and then saying, hey, is there any leftover? Okay, well, what is that leftover going to go to? And right now there isn't leftover for people. And so a lot of people are having to go either work extra which is really stressful. That just adds to a lot more of the problems, like we were even saying, mental health,
right,
that I think a lot of our society's faced in the past few years. And so figuring out a way to either cut costs, and that's what I do, I think, when I do one-on-one with people, is I sit down with them and I say, okay, so let's see, how much are you spending on eating out a month? Because if somebody was to track their spending, they're probably shocked. There's many people who spend like 800 plus on eating out a month.
Wow.
Like, that's more than our grocery bill right now. But we can totally do that. I mean, in a couple weeks, we had spent $200 easily eating out.
Right.
It's just so convenient. And so a lot of that looks like just sitting down with people going, okay, so what are you actually spending? Because I think a lot of us don't ever even track our spending. It's a little intimidating to sit down and go, oh, that's where my money went. And look at your bank statement or your credit card statement. And so I think that's the first step, is just to look at where your money is actually going. And then say, okay, well, what can I change? What is in my control right now that I can change in order to grow that savings, or whatever your goals might be for these people, to say, I want to be secure and have financial security and not worry about how I'm going to pay my bills or how I'm going to feed myself or my family. And yeah, I think it really just starts, number one, with sitting down and saying, okay, where's my money going every month? And going, okay, well, now what can I change about that? Can I add some income? Can I throw my kids in the car and do a Spark grocery delivery or Instacart?
Mm-hmm.
I was easily bringing in like $300 a week doing that for very few hours. I was making on average $30 an hour.
Wow.
Doing grocery delivery. Crazy, right? Like, people don't probably realize that. And like Grubhub, another one that people do, you can make some really good money doing that. And so I think when you sit down and you look at, hey, I do need some extra income to reach these goals, what's something I can do that's easy? And then maybe for some people long term, what's something fun that I actually enjoy doing that I could either switch my career field into to make more money, or just add on the side as a hobby that's enjoyable. Maybe I like being outdoors, and so I want to do something that involves leading people on hikes or doing like a survival training school for people. I know there's lots of people who actually are into that stuff right now after the last few years.
Yeah.
Or homesteading. A lot of people are into that right now. Okay, well, I have chickens. Could I sell chicken eggs? Those are some simple things, but I really think a lot of it just starts with that sitting down prompt, like, step, and just being honest with yourself as to, okay, how much is coming in, how much is going out, and like, what habits can I change to make savings a priority? And a lot of that has to do with your why. Like, what's the reason behind we're doing this? Is it so that I know the next time my car breaks, I don't have to worry about what's going to go on?
Yeah.
Or when my friend has a tragic event that happens in their life, I can fly across country and go be there because I have the finances available to do that. And so that's a huge part for us. Like, the why was so that our kids would grow up and not hear their parents argue about finances.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that, like, hey, my little kid really wants a Paw Patrol toy. Hey, buddy, like, we can get that Paw Patrol toy.
Right.
But also teaching them a little bit about, hey, we can get that next month. It's not in the plan for this month, but next month we can totally get that, bud. So I think there's just a lot of pieces of how it works out, but a lot of it is really mind shift change, I think, to go, there is hope. I don't have to stay where I'm at right now, and I can change my financial future.
And I feel like, especially after the last couple years that we have had, the financial freedom for people is what, you know, especially obviously being in real estate, you know, yes, it's a big investment to be even buying a house, but it also is that financial freedom that you get within, you know, planning and goal setting. And it is very overwhelming, especially when you're like, actually, I don't want to look at where my money's going. Because that means that there's probably a problem.
Yes, of an where accountability now.
It's definitely an accountability of like, oh, wow, I spent that much money on that. Like, that was nothing. You know what I mean? And then we also, you know, our society is so, and I'm definitely guilty of it, very impulsive.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that's what stores do. Like, they pay people to grab your attention, to impulse buy. And, you go to the grocery store and, you know, I was actually just having this conversation with my family the other day about, yes, you do pay, you know, a fee with getting Instacart or Grubhub or, you know, like now Costco can deliver to you. Yes, you pay that fee, but also look at how much you're saving.
Yes.
Because you're not impulsively walking through the aisles and you're like, oh, I need this. And oh, that, you know, I didn't even think about that. I could grab this. And there's an additional $200.
So fast, right?
So fast.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with you. I encourage people that I work with to do the grocery pickup because normally there's no fee if you spend over, I think, $35 most places. And it's really caused me to have a lot more self-control because that's what it is. It's a self-control aspect. But I think even behind that, there's a lot of that mental health that you have to consider too of why am I spending this money? Hey, I'm going to go on a shopping spree and drop a couple hundred dollars on new clothes, but I have a closet completely full of clothes.
Yeah.
And there's a healthy aspect of, take care of yourself, enjoy the hard-earned money that you just worked for. But also, am I going to care about that in 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Probably not. And if we stopped and waited and said, or even just gave ourselves the ability to say, hey, I have $200 each month that I'm going to go spend on whatever the heck I feel like spending it on. And I think that's a really healthy habit. For me, that's super hard. I'm the go-getter planner. We could be paying off our house, you know, so much faster. Right. And my husband's really taught me a lesson on enjoy life.
Yeah.
Especially because he works so hard for that income to go, hey, I really do want to go out and buy this new thing. So I'm going to get it. And we go, okay, well, let's fit this in to make it work. But yeah, a lot of it is people just stopping and looking and going, okay, well, why? Why do I need this right now? Do I need it? Am I trying to fill a void from something else? Am I trying to compare myself to others who might look at me differently, maybe if I dressed differently or drove a different car? And just being content with who we are and saying, like, for me, I don't mind driving a 2007 Expedition. Like, I love my car and it's great. Some people, that is not the same case for them. They... Right. Some people too, for business, I think would like something newer, more reliable. I'm at the point where I'm like, I really like it. It's an Eddie Bauer edition. I feel like I'm driving around in a Lazy Boy.
Right.
But I can easily be the same person too that looks and goes, oh, so-and-so, my friend just got this great new 4Runner. And man, I really want that, you know, and stopping and saying, okay, well, what do I actually want? Not to compare myself to somebody else, but to go, is that really a goal for my life? And to look at the big picture and say, hey, no, our goal is actually this. We want to be able to go on a vacation every year and bring our kids with us and or be able to pay off our house 7-10 years early so that we don't have to ever pay a mortgage to anybody ever again.
Right.
Or investing for some people to say, yeah, that's what our goal is to be able to do that. So I'm going to take that random spending that I do when I feel stressed or like I'm comparing myself to others.
Up with the Joneses.
Yes, that's a huge thing in saying like, no, this is what my goal is and really identifying that for people. And so, yeah, when I do the coaching, I really sit down and I go, okay, so what are your goals? Because their goals are not mine.
Right.
I have my own plans. My husband and I have our own goals, but other people's goals are completely different and that's fine. Like whatever they want their life to be is great. And that's what I think people need to realize too with money is everybody's different. Everybody has their own goals. Some people are super content living in the same house they've lived their entire life.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. For me and my husband, we really wanted to be in the mountains. And so we made that dream come true.
Yeah.
Because we wanted our little boys to wake up with elk and turkeys outside their yard. It's just seeing different perspectives and working with people with what their goals are. Because it is so easy to do the impulse buying, like you're saying, and the self-control and changing our habits takes time. I think like people sticking to a budget takes on average 90 days.
Wow.
To really make one and stick with it and make it happen. And even I sometimes, I mean, going into the grocery store, that's my biggest weakness. We're going to Trader Joe's later and I just know I'm going to have to work so hard. You know, like, pumpkin spice, everything is out.
It is. Well, and it's hard when everything's changing and then there's new and then there's this, you know, what's trending. And then, you know, you don't sometimes know that you want it until you see it. Like,
yes.
That's my problem. Like, I am not a person where I'm like, even in my business, and this may hinder me sometimes, but I'm not a goal planner. Like, it is so hard for me to be like, you know, a great example is with this podcast. Like, I was like, I know I want to do this. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to set forth to do it. But beyond that, goal planning, like when people are like, well, what do you want it for, you know, your business to look like in the next 6 months? And I'm like, I actually don't know. Like, some people like are like you, that you're like, nope, this is the goal. This is how we're going to get there, you know, going like that. But then there's other people where I'm like, even putting a goal is like, I don't know, maybe my mind will change. Maybe something else will happen in my life. And I don't know if maybe it's because I've seen plans not work. Mm-hmm. So I'm already prepared for the plan to not work. But it's the habits. It's the showing up. It's the consistency.
Yes, just doing it.
Just doing it. Where it's like, oh no, okay, I could actually probably have a lot more if I did stick with my plans and my goals than I do now.
Yeah, it's so true. And also being, I think, accepting that it's not going to look like what we always wanted to. For us, I mean, my original plan with paying off debt was like, oh, in this many years, we'll be debt-free. And that did not happen. It took a lot longer for us because, again, for my husband, it was a lot of, hey, I really want to get out and do this fun stuff.
Yeah.
And for me to realize that was important to him, I could just suck it up for 5 years probably and be super wealthy and have a miserable life.
Yeah.
But to get out and enjoy life and go with the ebbs and flows that come of, hey, I might make these plans and they might not work out the way that I want them to. And they probably actually won't. And that's okay, because that's part of the journey that we go on and learning and being gracious with ourselves. For me, I used to look at every time my budget failed. I still struggle with this of, oh, I overspent on eating out this month, or I overspent on this, and realizing that's okay because I'm human and I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But the goal is to get better, right? And right. As we do that, we get to see our long-term dreams happen. And I think sometimes people, too, just need help with, realizing what their goal is. Is your goal to live in this certain type of home? Is your goal to be able to go on these vacations or to support this ministry that I love, but right now we don't have the money to? Okay, well, if that's a long-term goal, how do we break it down into bite-sized pieces for the next year or 6 months down to the next week of, how do I make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I like what you said, because it's so easy to look at a goal and go, I've seen them not work, so maybe I just won't make them anymore.
Yeah.
It's so true. But to instead go like, no, I know I can do this. It might take longer than what maybe I'm setting my mind up for, and that's okay. Or it might be way faster. Or I don't know what my goal is right now, but I'm just going to take steps in the direction of what I love doing.
Yeah.
Which I like that you were saying even about your podcast. You didn't have a long-term plan, but you just started.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're enjoying what you're doing. I've listened to a couple and I really enjoy them. It's fun to hear, people's stories.
Yeah. No, it's, I've had a lot of reflection recently, especially with this podcast. So actually, this podcast will air while I'm in Mexico. So in 2 weeks, I leave next week. And that's where it really started with my family. We had taken a vacation. We've started, one of our kind of family things is that Christmas, there is a lot of money that gets spent during the holidays, right? And this is, something where budgeting does come in of like, why are we buying these just things? These, items for people. Let's start buying more experiences for people. And I started that probably about 7 years ago with my nieces and nephews.
I love that.
They have gotten, different experiences throughout, the years. And so as a family, we were going to Mexico in February. And so, that was one of the kids' gifts, was we went on an excursion. Anyways, while we were on this trip, that's where the podcast came about. And so, like I said, the reflection part is because I was just there in February. I'm going back in a week and I get to see what I did in between that time. And it was really then where I was like, hey, I want to start a podcast. And my family was like, you should, like, go do it. Like, why not? You know? And I think that's where so many people, you know, and it's not a bad thing, but like you had said, like, well, why are you doing this? You know? And then there's my opposite side says, well, why not? Like, yeah. Why are we not doing this? You know, like so many people want to know why you're doing it, but like, why wouldn't you do that? And so, just, you know, like you said, through the podcast, like I didn't plan it to be as great as it's been going. I just let the world take it in the environment, in my community, and building that. And, it has been recent conversations of like, I just opened up a business account with this. Like, holy shit. I did not expect, that is not what I expected, you know, in February to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's like these sponsorships now, these advertisements now, the growth of it, you know, and so many people reaching out to me and saying like, please don't stop this. Like, we will help you. Like, we will find a way. Like, please do not stop doing this, because it's people like you that reach out to me and say like, hey, I have a message. I have something to share to the world. Like, I have this knowledge, and knowledge is power. And you have that power, you know, like, I hope that I can send this to the first responders and even use you personally for me, because the strength that you get from somebody else's knowledge is exponential. Like, I wouldn't have known that unless it was for this podcast, you know? And so I really, really, really appreciate you reaching out to me and saying like, hey, can I come on there? Like, I love when people do that, because I'm like, yes. Yesterday when I was actually in opening up the business account, the gentleman says, so I'm just curious, like, how many people have you turned away from your podcast? And I said, none. I said, not one person have I ever turned away from this. And he goes, really? I said, because it's an open platform. It's a limitless, boundaryless, I don't even know if that's the right word, but it's where people can come speak from the unheard, you know, like, it's free for you to come on and tell people how to start saving.
Yeah.
And it seems like so simple. It's like, oh, well, you save your money and you know, you put it aside in a different account. It's like
so much more than that. It's much of the mindset. And I felt so comfortable coming on here today after listening to some of yours, because I heard you say the word when you podcasted.
Yeah.
And recently I was going to go on one, and within like a minute I was corrected about saying the word a few times. And I listened to you, and it gave me so much encouragement and hope of this was a safe place to come and share my story about what I'm doing. And I love that you give that opportunity to whoever wants to come on here, because people do have a story to share and a message of hope for a lot of people that they want to share to others. And you're giving them a platform to do that.
Yeah.
And for me, that platform is like, hey, there's hope that you don't have to be in the same financial situation. You don't have to stress forever. And your life can be good. Even on one income, I think a lot of people think, oh, you have to make hundreds of thousands a year in order to live the life you want. But that's not true. And so I'm so thankful for this opportunity, because not everybody does this, where you can come to share your story and the message you want to get across to the community. So, yeah,
absolutely. Well, and it's great because, you know, everybody has their own like world that they're intertwined in, you know, and you had said that you wanted to help people. And so many people do. That's what I think we were brought into this world for, is to be able to help other people. We're here to connect with other people. We're here to have a village, you know, and bring together our resources that we have. Like, not one person can do every single aspect in the world.
Yes.
But I have you, and this is what your strength is. And I have other people, you know, in other individuals, like, learn what your strengths are, learn what your weaknesses are, give that stress away to like finances. For me, I'm like, whoo, you can have them, you know, where some people are like, oh, you talk to strangers, like, you can do that.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, yes, I love it, because that's what it's a give and take. It's a balancing effect. It's like, okay, if you don't like it, like, I do though. You know, we are all human. We are all so unique. We are all so incredible. Like, and what we get to offer other people.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think it's so true that we all meet a need for others and we all have the opportunity to serve and meet people where they're at, because everybody's struggling in their own way. And like, what if we just come alongside somebody and say, hey, I'm here, I can pick you up and I can walk alongside you through whatever you're going through. I love that.
Yeah, no, I do. So what is something that maybe, you know, people starting out could use as a resource, you know, if it's maybe they can't pay you, or maybe you're like, hey, this app really helped me, I'm going to give some knowledge to you. If they, you know, like I said, if they can't help and pay for, you know, somebody to come and coach them, what's something really tangible that they could start doing?
Yeah. So I think one of the first things is, just get like a budgeting app. I use the Dave Ramsey one. It's called Every Dollar. It's free. And that's why I've used it for so long, is because it cost me nothing to be able to sit down and do my finances every month. That was a huge starting place for us to just go, hey, it's on my phone. I can enter in the data when I'm spending money. When I go to the grocery store, I can write how much I just spent. I don't have to go home, keep receipts, or remember any of that. I can throw all the receipts away. So I would say that's the biggest start, is just get a free budgeting app. There's so many on the App Store that are free that you can download. You don't need to spend anything. That's the first place. Another thing I do is through my social media. I give out so much free advice. I'm doing a workshop for first responder military spouses who are at home with kids on how to start a side gig when you're at home and you have to do the childcare because you can't afford to send your kids to childcare. And so I'm just trying to do a lot of those free things, or teaching a workshop on how do you even make a budget. Let's sit down together. Let's get a group of people together and sit down. And for that, it's like $10. That's so affordable versus a one-on-one coaching session maybe with me. And hey, how do I pay off debt? Because our schools don't teach that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of families don't teach it because they don't even understand it, because they were never taught it themselves. And so I'm trying to do a lot of the free education of, that's why I'm coming on podcast that I can get my hands on to share, hey, there is help. Just start with the basics of knowing your income and knowing what your expenses are every month. And then you can move on from there. So yeah, I'm trying to get into the police departments. I've reached out to 5 and have heard back from none of them so far.
Wow.
Because I want to offer free workshops, because I really want to take away that financial stress from, nationwide our community. But for my heart, just that specific group of people that already bear so many burdens from what they see every day, to remove at least the financial stress side. So I'm really hoping to get in and offer a bunch of free workshops to tell people, hey, this is the plan you can get on. This will help change your life so you can minimize that stress.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I'm really hoping I hear back from them at some point. So,
well, hopefully, I mean, I definitely, you know, encourage any listeners to be able to reach out to you and needing help. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website is heroesfinancialcoaching.com. And then my Instagram is the same, heroesfinancialcoaching. And that's probably the best way to just reach me and find me. And yeah, I do free consultations with all my clients to see if it's a good fit for them, if I can actually help them, or maybe if they need to go somewhere else too, what would be the best fit for them. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on so much and reaching out to me. And this is such a need. You know, like you said, it comes into so many different realms of, you know, the stress and the anxiety and the overwhelming of, you know, not only the first responders, but the financial and the burden on the family. Like, there's so many different situations. So if we can start decreasing the stress in one area, hopefully that can help in overall on us humans. So
yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, listeners, thank you again for yet another week of listening to people's stories. And I appreciate you coming along for all of the journeys. If you could reach me at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com. Also, Instagram is rawthoughts.podcast. I would love to hear from you guys, any success stories that you have grabbed from listening, or if you would like to be on the podcast, I would appreciate it. So you guys have a wonderful day. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again.
Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.